Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
How do we help keep our kids safe from the impact of drugs? Let's go in depth with Pella Police Chief Robert Bokinski and Superintendent of the Pella Community School District, Greg Ebling. Chief, does Pella have a drug problem?
I would say yes, and by saying yes, anytime there's drugs, whether it be in the schools, whether it be in the workplace, in the home or anywhere in your community, yeah, there's a drug problem. And is it of epidemic proportions? I'm not necessarily buying into that. But yes, the police department, any police department is going to be mission driven with respect to drugs, and they're always present, and we always consider it a problem.
But Pella doesn't want to say that. That's not the image that Pella works so hard to cultivate. That's something people don't want to know. Do we have our heads in the sand? What?
Let me start with this, Dr. Bob. I worked 32 years in an East Coast police agency, and I have been exposed to a lot of schools and a lot of drugs. Ran a very, very successful drug unit, involved in a number of task forces. And are drugs present in Pella? Yes, they're present. Is it a problem to the of the magnitude I've seen before? Not even close. As bad as we think it is in Pella, it doesn't scratch the surface of what's out there in some communities.
But it's still not okay.
No, it's not okay. If it's my child that's been introduced to drugs, it's a huge problem for me, and it's a huge problem for our family.
Now, Greg, how about the schools? Do we have to worry about drugs in the schools? Of course we do, I guess.
We do, yeah. We do. It's, I think we've been seeing a higher usage amongst students than we have had in the past. We've had more frequent things happen at school that have a connection to drugs in some way, whether that be prescription medication or marijuana. Those are probably the two biggest things. So we know that it's happening. We have a lot of anecdotal things from other students about what's happening on the weekends and at homes, and sometimes kids are unsupervised and things that are happening at parties and all those types of things. So we know it's out there. We a couple weeks ago had the drug task force. A gentleman in that just was to talk to our middle school and high school staff just about kind of identifying some of the things to look for in students that may be using, and some of the information that they shared was pretty mind-blowing in some ways, because we at times don't realize the amount of drugs that are out in our community, kind of how that's pipelined in. Some of the marijuana that's coming into our community is actually from dispensaries in Colorado. Well, it's interesting that you can legally buy it there, drive it across the border, and so you're seeing just a different kind of marijuana. And the THC levels in the marijuana today compared to what it was 30, 40 years ago is way, way different. So higher levels of THC. So not only is there marijuana being used, but it's actually much more potent form.
And this is the same situation across schools, across Iowa, across the nation, not just here.
It is. It is. We just know that there's things going on in our community where kids are recreationally using marijuana, and parents are actually allowing it in the home. And so the scary...
Wait, repeat that. The parents are allowing marijuana in the home.
They are. So some parents are either turning a blind eye or are saying, yes, it's okay if you do it in my home. And the part about that that's a little bit scary is that, so if I have a child that goes into that home and it's being recreationally used there, and I don't realize it as a parent and I let my kid go over there, there's a pressure to sometimes be a part of that. And so those are all things that are very concerning, that there's that kind of an attitude at times amongst some people.
more in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Pella Police Chief Robert Bokinski and Superintendent of the Pella Community School District, Greg Ebling. Well, I already know what some listeners are thinking is that, well, marijuana isn't really any different than alcohol, and alcohol is legal, and marijuana is some places, so hey, you know, let's just be informal about it, and I'd rather have my kids smoking pot at home than somewhere else. Is that what's happening?
You're seeing it a little bit, but there's a general ignorance surrounding marijuana these days, and Mr. Ebling touched on it, actually. You know, as a parent, you're a little bit older, and you think back to the days of 60s, 70s, maybe even the 80s, marijuana carried a THC level of maybe 4% up to 7%, which actually is the optimum medical dosage as far as THC concentration. But you go to these dispensaries and you're seeing marijuana with THC content that is upwards of 27%, and now I hear approaching 30%, and that far exceeds a medicinal dose. That actually is counterproductive medically. Now, on the recreational side, I'd never heard of a marijuana overdose until you started seeing the recreational laws open up in Colorado, and now you see THC-infused gummy bears, cookies, and you see marijuana overdoses that land people in the hospital. It's a very frightening thing for somebody who overdoses on marijuana, and again, it's something that didn't used to happen, and it happens now. So I guess historically, people would equate smoking marijuana with drinking a beer. Now it's like drinking grain alcohol straight up.
And most of us don't know that.
Yeah, it's just different. And the other thing that I thought was disturbing was when people that are on something harder than marijuana, like they're a heroin addict, they're addicted to cocaine, meth addict, almost per person, every one of those people would say that their drug use started with marijuana. Doesn't mean that everyone smokes marijuana is going to become a heroin addict or a meth addict or something like that, but there's that potential to look for that next better high. And that's a concern, is if we kind of allow our kids to experiment, to mess around with that, and we do it in a recreational sense in our homes, just the message that gets sent to the students and to our children long term, because it's not a good thing, and bad things happen.
Now, these teenage years where a lot of this is happening, and I guess preteen maybe even, the peer pressure is so incredible. It's like, you know, you're 17 years old, Susie has invited you to her house, everybody's coming, oh, her parents are gone, and then people are smoking marijuana there. The pressure to stay and participate rather than to just sort of, you know, leave, that's tough social pressure, right? How do kids deal with that? Because then if they leave, they're not cool or...
That's actually part of the solution. That's the type of very thing we want to attack with this. You can sum up the drug problem with simple economics, supply and demand. And I receive emails regularly from members of the community very frustrated with the drug problem in Pella, and they expect us to arrest our way out of it. And this is not a problem you can arrest your way out of. There will always be supply of drugs as long as there's a demand for drugs. And peer pressure is just another way of increasing that demand, introducing a new user, creating new users and new demand. And that's a part of the equation that really deserves attention. You can't fight the what they call the war on drugs. You can't fight it by just attacking supply. You've got to not attack it emotionally. You have to attack it intellectually. And the demand side is really the key to solving the problem. The police will always be willing to arrest a drug dealer. You know, we're like hunting dogs. Hunting dogs like to go hunting, and that's what we like to do. And we love doing that kind of work. But again, we will never, ever be able to solve it just on that side of the demand curve.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Pella Police Chief Robert Bokinski and Superintendent of the Pella Community School District, Greg Ebling. I know you have some ideas about making this a community-wide effort. Can you tell us about them?
Well, there's certainly the prevention side. There's getting the students involved in actually, just pressing into how many students are using, what's the basic reasons for that. Is it just because it's fun? Is it recreational? Is it because they're bored, they don't have enough to do? I mean, what is it? But then also just parents being interconnected in a network of parents that honestly pledge to each other that if you're in my home, it's going to be drug-free, it's going to be alcohol-free, kids are going to be supervised. And so if I'm sending my kids into someone else's home, I want to know that it's going to be a safe environment for them and they're not going to experience peer pressure there because their kids are doing stuff that they shouldn't be doing. So that network of people is important, and parents pledging to each other. If you've got parents that think it's okay, then don't pledge, but I'm not sending my kid to your house either. Because I think it's important that they can trust that if my student comes into your home, that they're going to be okay. And I think parents have to do their diligence on it. They have to be parents. They can't be friends. They can't say, hey, come and do this in my house. As long as you're here and I have your car keys, it's all okay. Well, no, that's not okay. It's illegal. It's not good for our students.
Okay, so you're just asking the parents to step forward and say, hey, I'm going to be responsible for what happens in my home.
Absolutely.
We used to just sort of be able to count on that. Yep. At least when I was growing up, most of us did.
I think there's a lot of parents with cell phones, they believe they can get a hold of their kid whenever they want, which basically they can. But I do think there's a lot of not knowing where their kid is. Now, I'm guessing when I was a kid, my parents didn't always know where I was either. I'm sure they didn't. But at the same time, kids have to make choices as well, and we have to wean them into becoming adults and making good choices. But with that being said, I also don't want my child exposed at a young age because there's lack of supervision, because there's just not people there. And there's got to be a way for parents to network that want their kids in a safe place.
You know, and I'd say, Dr. Bob, the parents are actually a big, big part of this solution. And as we mentioned earlier, this is a community problem, and really everybody needs to step up. I've had people approach me and say that they know of 10 drug dealers in town, and I'd ask them, who are they? And they don't want to tell me who they are. They just say they know that they deal drugs, and there's 10 of them. And then I heard others, my child came home from school and says he or she knows 50 people who use drugs or use marijuana at school. Well, who are they? Well, they don't want to say. They're just putting their toe in the water. They got to get in there and take a bath. You know, they got to get in there with us and fight this thing. You know, we can't solve it just by pointing fingers or saying there's a problem. Let's be part of the solution here, because they actually hold the key in every way, shape, and form of solving this thing. So that's what we're going to try to do as well, is draw them in, as Greg said, and really get them invested in this. This is a community problem, and the community can solve it. And Pella's full of good people. It really is. This is a good community with good people, and we just have to take it to the next level.
So is there some kind of a formal or semi-formal designation where I just say, hey, my home is a drug-free zone. My home is a safe home. Is there some kind of label you want to put on? How do I know another home?
Well, I've had an experience with this in my past, and there actually was a parent group that formed. It actually when I was in Spencer, and their idea was that there was a pledge that I actually signed. It was public that they signed it. It was actually their parents' cell phones were on there. It was listed, I have a drug and alcohol-free home. that was raised on this organization's website. So parents could actually look and say, okay, so-and-so, they've signed the pledge, and actually you could call those parents and say, hey, my son's coming over to your house. Are you going to be home? Is it going to be supervised? Because obviously kids can do things when they're not supervised, and that doesn't mean even somebody that signs a pledge couldn't have something happen in their house without them knowing. But some sort of a network that connects people and is visible. Because certainly not everyone knows everybody in the community, and I have kids that have friends that I don't know their parents very well at all. And so that's a way for me to connect with them and make sure that that's visible and I know what's going on if my son goes over to their house.
Okay, so you're doing this formally? What are you calling
it? So we don't have a name for it yet. And we're right now connecting some people together that are interested in kind of being some of the leaders, being some of the point people. And so we're just in the infancy stage, but it'll eventually have a name. I'm guessing it'll have a website. It'll have kind of an organization both with prevention, how we bring in the education through like people like the Drug Task Force and the PD, as well as other organizations, but just looking both at prevention, both at networking, and really education of people to help them understand really what are you messing with and what's the potential consequences of that.
Okay, so we're going to learn more about this. People that are interested in helping, participating, guiding, lending a hand, or just to listen, just reach out.
The school and the PD are kind of acting as a conduit for this thing right now. We don't want this to be just a school-run organization or a police department-run organization, but certainly they can contact me at school. Really looking for people that are willing to be a part of it and help lead and even take some leadership through being a person that wants to network other people together.
The same goes for the police department. They can easily reach me here at our police department number or me by email. And I would say we are looking for people who are really invested in making a difference in this community. And I would hate to see the youth of this community, this be their legacy, that this is where, Pella took a left-hand turn toward drugs. And this is a good time to step up and do something about that. And this is a good way to do it. We have a good team together. We have a good plan. And we are going to make a difference. So we're just looking for people who want to jump on board the train here.
Thanks to Chief Robert Bokinski and Superintendent Greg Ebeling for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.